You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on
8:39 on a Monday? We're talking civil military stuff. This is the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, tell me I'm not fucking cool.
I won't say anything at all. So why don't you
slide? Lidge, how cool am I if I'm playing the Goo Goo Dolls?
Dude, all I gotta say is every time you have me on, you have the best bumper music. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I love it. Goo Goo Dolls are cool.
Yeah. So, tell you young people that think I'm not cool, deal with it, bitches. All right. First of all, you've been living for the past how many years down in the the Galveston, Houston area? Tell everybody what you've been doing and where you've been living.
I spent about 3 years in Corpus Christi. And at the time, I was in the oil business, specifically a safety manager for an oil field commodities trucking company, which was cool. I now live down on the border in McAllen, in what's known as the Valley here in Texas. And so I'm now about 60 miles away from the coast.
Okay. All right. So these kind of events are not, they're part of living down there, yes?
Correct.
Okay. Tell us about, so when we look at a map of Texas, you're living in Corpus Christi right on the coast, right?
I was.
Okay. And then, and you moved?
Mm-hmm.
So, and McAllen is from Corpus Christi. Which way is McAllen?
South and a little bit west. It's 155 miles south, slightly west.
Okay. Because you can't go east unless you want to get in the water.
Exactly. But I'm still 60 miles away from the coast.
Okay.
So I'm down in the interior.
All right. So, but even then, how much did you get? Much rain? As the crow flies, Corpus Christi from. Just so everybody knows, Corpus Christi from Houston is 178 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close relative to this storm because it was gargantuan. And then from there, you're south and west in McAllen. So, What did you get?
Nothing. We were anticipating flooding. Yeah, we were anticipating rains and flooding and whatnot. And we did not get a drop. Not one stinking drop. They did close to the coast, obviously, but not in McAllen.
So you stayed dry?
Dry the entire time. I turned off the water sprinklers. I had to go out Sunday and turn the damn things back on. The lawn was dying.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. on Saturday, we got some cloud cover and at least took the heat away. You know, I've always kind of liked sunny, hot weather, but geez, down here, it's every day, it's 100, 110, and the sun just booms. But so we got a little cooler on, but by Sunday, the sun was back out. It was hot as hell. Grass was dying.
Nice. Talk to me about, Houston's just up the waterway inland, you know, from the coast. All right. So again, this is not, they're no stranger to aquatic events. Do you think Houston, because as you mentioned, Corpus Christi, Galveston, those were prominently mentioned as they were going to get hit, depending on where this thing, made landfall. Houston, was it prepared? Did it think it was going to get this kind of, attention from this storm?
Well, Houston was definitely prepared for flooding, but Houston has flooding problems just from regular summertime rain activity. I mean, it's a town that's prone to flooding. My understanding is that Governor Abbott did in fact advise Houston and those folks to evacuate inland, but the mayor of Houston advised against that on the basis of traffic clogging the highways, because the last time they evacuated, which I believe was last summer, They had about five deaths due to people caught in traffic, and I think it was exposure or what have you. So the answer to your question was no. I don't believe Houston was at all prepared for what happened to them.
And they have problems with normal rain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so there's Corpus Christi. I mean, last summer we had a series of significant rain events, and it will flood up roads. There's all kinds of water rescues taking place. And I'm not talking all-day events. These are just thunderstorms that would move through and just dump a ton of water at a time. The ability of these areas to drain out is limited. If we had gotten that rain in McAllen, we would have been screwed because we don't have any real effective way to drain it off either. Yeah, it floods here very easily, but we don't get a lot of rain.
Email. Mac, I went through McAllen once. I don't think you can go any further south or west in the country. Is that true?
That's true. Well, Brownsville, which is a little bit down towards the coast from us, Brownsville's slightly more south, but yeah, I mean we're right there on the border with Mexico, brother. It's right across the way.
All right. The do you know Mike Myatt, former CG? I don't know if he was one MEF. I know he was First Marine Division. Do you know General Myatt?
Yeah. I mean, not personally. I saw him when I was on active duty, and I know who he is.
He has been significant in getting the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force involved in disaster planning with the state of California relative to large earthquakes in the San Francisco area and also Los Angeles. And so it'll be interesting. And I was wondering over the weekend about where you were and how much rain you had gotten. But it'll be interesting to see if the post-Katrina – If there is any better coordination of a federal military response, because so many people were so frustrated watching the video of Katrina, knowing that they had medium and heavy lift helicopters, knowing they had six bys and big trucks that go through high water and could help, and they were never called on. And they were within driving distance from New Orleans, and that they could, out of their home bases, they could fly in and out of New Orleans as long as they can refuel someplace. And if you can't tell us, we'll tank by aerial tanker. We can do that kind of stuff, but we're here to help. And a lot of people are very frustrated with all of that in and around New Orleans. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's a better response out of Texas this time, because again, these things have been done before, and they I don't know, it's just when you watch it, pretty interesting, because Houston's flooded before, Corpus Christi has flooded before, Galveston flooded before, all those cities are familiar with this kind of event, and so when you push the button to activate it, you know, you would expect a pretty well-oiled response to it, and we'll see if it happens. What are you guys getting? Are there people coming out of Houston headed your direction because you're dry? Are they headed to San Antonio? Talk to me.
Well, my understanding is that at Houston, they're heading to Dallas, has got the biggest reception for them. They're not going to get down to our way very easily because of the impact of the hurricane on the road net, you know, coming south out of Houston. Because it goes close to Victoria, which got hammered, goes through Corpus Christi, which got hammered. So I don't anticipate seeing a whole lot of people coming down this far. I think they'd look at San Antonio and Dallas first.
What's the weather report for the region today?
Up in Houston, they're looking at that storm coming back and raining. Down here, it's just sunny and hot, like it normally is. Oh. But hey, you know, by the way, plug for the Lynch family here. When my dad was at Parris Island in South Carolina, they had a gigantic hurricane hit there, and I know that he kind of unilaterally started sending out stuff to help, and got called from HQMC, like, you know, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, man. These people need some help and whatnot. But he made a vigorous response, which, given the fact that he's had to recruit that boat, he didn't have a whole lot of assets. But what he had, he spread out all over the damn state. And got a lot of the South Carolina folks really appreciated him. Got a lot of attention for that.
That was the frustration of guys watching Katrina. You know, one map, we're half the country away, but hit the button, man. We'll send the aircraft. We'll send the mechanics. We'll send the refuelers. We'll set up our own FARP. You command and control us. Tell us we can move people. Right?
Oh, yeah.
We can
play. Yeah.
Just tell us where. And now, so that's what General Myatt got involved in. How do we plug in? How do we harness? How do we harness the power of these organic assets that we have in the region when we have over the top disasters like you're having in Houston right now, and which Katrina was. And we can get there. There's nobody that gets there quicker than the United States military does. And why we're not allowed to help? Look, we're probably not going to take over your state. Okay, I'm just saying that may have been a concern at one time. Now we are probably not, you know, going to pull off the coup. We're probably going to do what we do around the world and then go home. And I think, in fact, somebody sent me an email a little bit ago. It would certainly be wonderful to see on TV, you know, what this nation's all about, as opposed to the crazies we've been watching for the last couple weeks. And I agree with that, too. Let me read you one more email, then you can respond. Hey, Mac, where the hell does he live? I'm looking at Google Earth, okay? I see Corpus Christi. I see Alice. I see Nuevo Laredo. I don't see anything that he's talking about. Does he work for the CIA? Do you work for the CIA? Is this a big deception you're rolling on me? So talk to me. How do we get to where you live? We leave Corpus Christi. We're headed on the 359. Do we go through Alice? Kingsville? Where are we going?
No. We go down Highway 77. Go down Highway 77 to Harlingen and take a head west. I'm from Nuevo Laredo, which is in Mexico.
Right.
That's about 80 miles to the west of me, northwest. So you come down 77 and then bang a right at Harlingen, and you're going to be out of McAllen.
I'm looking on the map, man. Oh, there's 77. Raymondville, Harlington,
right.
McAllen.
Right. There you go.
Dude, you're in Latin America. Do you know that?
Oh, I absolutely do know that. My Spanish is getting pretty good.
Yeah. I can habla. It's outside Reynosa.
Reynosa. Uh-huh.
That's across the border. That's a pretty decent sized city, huh?
It's really good. You know, a lot of like I was saying before, you know, in this border area here, Mexican citizens can come and cross the border anytime they want to. They just can't go more than 25 miles inland. And so we get a lot of folks from Mexico to come in here and access the hospital system. And conversely, there's a lot of folks from America who go to Reynosa for dental work and plastic surgery. Now, Reynosa's got it's the boob job capital of the world, I bet you.
Really?
Damn close. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do them cheap. They do them cheap. You can get your car painted and a new set of boobs for like less than $1,000.
Oh, easily less than $1,000. Yeah,
that's awful. Here's an email for you, Mac. Interesting civil military discussion this morning, and my heart says absolutely. I hope the military gets in there because the nation really could use our example put front and center on TV. Every culture, every religion, every opinion, for God's sakes, even the stupid among us, aren't nearly as ridiculous as the crap we see on TV. I hope that we're allowed to get our noses in there. And again, as others have said this morning, I don't think the American people understand the robust capabilities that are resident on their bases. You know, and all your guests know, that we can go just about anywhere, stay there for as long as we want, and deliver a thud, whether it be in logistics or whether it be with a boom, for as long as we want. It's pretty cool. It'd be very cool to be able to help citizens in our country that really need our help in these early phases of disaster before the National Guard gets mobilized, organized, and moves. Our federal response could be much quicker. I wish they could be used as a bridge between the state's long-term response and the immediate crisis. And I think, based on what I've heard from you this morning and some of the ties that have already been created post-Katrina, there's absolutely no goddamn reason why this shouldn't have happened in the Houston area. Different active duty units, and maybe your guest, Mr. Lynch, can talk about the number of bases that are in the region, could have been put on notice that they were going to be flying in to support. As you've mentioned, I don't know that much about Texas bases, but I've heard of Fort Hood. I've heard of Fort Bliss. And don't we have a jet base in Kingsville, someplace to fly in around there? It certainly doesn't seem like anything too difficult to put together, especially as that bridge between initial landfall of these kind of events, things that we do, which is quick crisis response, as opposed to a longer-term state response that is going to require days. Enjoy the program. Tell Mr. Lynch to stay safe. I'm curious about his thoughts. Hey, get us up to snuff. Major bases in the region are what?
Okay, so you've got the two Army bases that he mentioned, Bliss and that, I forget that other one that's up by Dallas. They're huge, though.
Hood.
Hood, thank you. And you've got, in San Antonio area, you've got the Lackland Air Force Complex. That's a big old base.
That's huge.
Right, and then you've got down in Corpus Christi, the Corpus Christi, Kingsville is a subsidiary of the Corpus Christi Naval Air Station. That's a training command. They've got, that's where they bring pilots after they leave Pensacola. They come down there to start working with the fixed wing assets. But they're gigantic bases, leftover space for World War II, that could easily accommodate a MEU or a MEB-sized response, and that's well within striking distance.
So when you think about it, right, warning order to whatever CH-53s and Osprey and whatever else we're going to fly there. Standby, we're going to use that as a FARP, right? Get ready to deploy for up to 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. They can easily be accommodated there because it's got budget capacity.
Right. You don't need to swamp Houston. Right? You go there, you're out of the way, you're in your organic environment, right? So,
right.
And so again, my point is that you can have a presence in Houston pretty quickly with your aviation to help support the movement and rescue of people. And then, the next thing, I mean, how many trucks do you think they have at Fort Hood?
Oh, they've got to have thousands. Right. I mean, that's a gigantic base.
Right. Yeah, so, again, I went to planning conferences with at OneMap for a San Francisco event, a Los Angeles event, and it was pretty cool. And I was telling John Ubaldi that one of the coolest parts was the eye-opener that the National Guard guys got, because a lot of them, you know, they've been on active duty, but, you know, they deal with their guard stuff. And, you know, and a lot of them weren't familiar with, you know, Navy capabilities along the coast, huge. Marine Corps capabilities along the coast, huge. And especially the logistics that we do and the size that you could do it, from electricity to water purification to medical triage. All that stuff comes, and we don't need to swamp, for instance, in San Francisco, the Alameda Naval Air Station, right? You have the Naval Air Station at Lemoore. Right, further to the east, you have Travis Air Force Base. So we can medevac people to these places, and they're the same kind of distances that we fly medevacs in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's what we do, and so you don't have to swamp the facilities in the affected area. And so, but I don't know that the plugins are mature enough And I certainly wish they would get better. So.
I do too. And you know, regarding Katrina, when back in the 90s when we were doing the sock exits, right? The final exercise was some kind of live fire event inside of a city, and I was at the special missions branch, which made me like the glorified range safety officer. And we did an operation in New Orleans, coming out of Biloxi, as I recall. And so we flew 53s in there, brought in the force guys, did this live fire hostage rescue right downtown. It was it's not like we don't do that stuff in those cities, once every few years. So there's resident knowledge about working in those areas. That's just an aside. I don't know if we still do them now or not.
Well, again, I think we're beyond that. I mean, those were the Mew things. Those were kind of cute, cool boutique things. But I think what we've done now at post-Katrina is different communities have reached out along with their state emergency management, the National Guard, to create the infrastructure that needs to be created before the event so you can pick up the phone and say, hey, we would like to use your Osprey and your 53s for this mission according to that plan that we created last summer. Got it. Mm-hmm. All right, let me get on the phone. Let me see what 3rd Marine Air Wing and 2nd Marine Air Wing can support, because it'll probably be some kind of composite group. You don't really need to know this. I'll let you know how many air platforms we had, what we have, and when we'll be mission capable. But I would expect it to be within. And again, if you sent that warning out last week, that warning order out, and said pack your shit, have it on the aircraft, you're on a 6-hour alert to go. Right? And then you hang out. Yeah. Then you hang out for the weekend, and once it gets going and they activate it, boom, you're in, and then you'd be flying now. So.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be, and like I said, it wouldn't be the first time that the wing's gone down there. It's not like they haven't planned to do that. You know, that was my Mew comment. And how cool would it be to be part of that kind of response?
Oh, are you kidding me?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
No, I used to watch the, up in North Dakota, you know, they'd call out the guard, sometimes for blizzard stuff, to help with rescuing people and things like that. Because they shut down those big gates, they shut down the interstate. But you think that stops people? No, they drive around it, and then they're going to die out there. And the only people that can get to them really in those kind of conditions are the military. And so, but then a lot of times in the flooding stuff, you know, you see, and then you talk to National Guard people afterwards, and active duty people that get out there to help, and they absolutely love it because, you know, when you drive up in a big 6x, and you're able to throw a family on, they're animals, and all of that, you get a feeling that, you know, you don't get often, that, man, this is really cool. And but, you know, the other thing is the nation could probably use, what we bring in terms of inspiration. Selflessness, and I'm so sick of watching these idiots on my TV. Both sides. They had a protest evidently in Berkeley yesterday, and they went on a rampage, and like 22 people got arrested, and there wasn't even anybody from the other side there. What is that about?
I believe I saw them, like, they attacked some guy, and he turned out to be an anti-foe guy, too. They're really internecine warfare. You know, identify friend or foe problems with those knuckleheads.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
It's just stupid. And it's two groups that aren't represented among the population. If you draw the bell curve, it's like, what's that tiny speck all the way at the end? These assholes are getting on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, it's uncool. But I did see, coming out of Houston, Houston's got a sizable black population, and there's all kinds of video of the population, of whom, a good percentage of them are black, going out there and rescuing people. obviously regardless of skin color, tone, or political ideology. That was good to see, And so.
Yeah, but again,
hopefully you'll see more of it.
That's our experience.
That's what you expect.
That's our experience, right? That's the United States we know.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's very discouraging to see that the press seems to be hammering on these type of fault lines, which are, as far as I'm concerned, non-existent. I've never met a white supremacist. I don't even know of one. I mean, I've never heard of that. But because I voted for Trump, I'm one of them. I don't think so. I'm just an anti-DC politician guy. That's all.
Right. I'm for truth, and I'm for improving the lot of the American people. And so,
Yes. So
I want to have you come on, and I want you to sit down. And this is a homework assignment because you're a smart guy.
Okay.
Modifications that you would make to the U.S. Constitution to make the government run better.
Okay, I will
I'll roll mine out for you. Mine is the abolition of political parties. Okay, and let me give you the premise. Other than providing and funding candidates for office at the primary level, they have become part of what Madison warned against in Federalist Papers number 10, when he talked about factionalism. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bell curve, the majority of politicians are in the long axis of the bell curve. However, when you draw a red line right down the middle of the bell curve, you empower the fringes of both sides of it. If you take the red stripe out, what do you have? You have all these people whose positions on issues are not substantial, that should be enacting and compromising to enact federal programs that advance the condition of the American people. But because you cannot compromise. And I had a senator tell me, Mac, compromise is a lubricant of democracy. You can't compromise anymore as a politician, because if you do, the only thing you're assured of is a contested primary within your own party, because you're a sellout now. And that's just our political landscape. And so my constitutional amendment would be to outlaw political parties. We would federally fund elections. Election season would last 4 months. The primary vehicles relative to the election will be televised debates. We'll have two a month. You show up to them. In addition, if you're running for the Senate, we'll give you $1 million. You can spend it on your own. Spend it any way you want to. And if you're running for the House, we'll give you $500,000. Spend that any way you want to. That's it. 4 months. The money has to be spent during that period of time. Can't be spent prior to. And that's how we're going to elect people. You go to Washington, D.C. completely unencumbered. You caucus with who you want to. I'm a conservative defense caucus guy. Caucus with them. We introduce legislation. We pass legislation. Majority leader office turned into a museum. This is how we used to be. Minority leader office turned into a museum as well. This is how we used to be back in the day when we were ignorant. So that's my... Give it some thought. What do you think?
I will. I mean, they're removing the money from the politics because the other, I believe, if what I understand is true, is that our politicians spend a majority of their time fundraising. I mean, that's, they get in office and all they're doing next is looking how to stay in office.
Yeah,
and
especially if you're in the House, you stand election every 2 years. You got to. Cannot do that. So we're going to lift that burden from you. You don't need to fundraise. We're going to finance your campaign. What you need to do, what will sustain you in office, is good deeds that further the cause of the people that you represent.
Right. And I would go back to appointing senators by having the governors appoint the senators.
I would definitely
go back to that.
The way we used to do that was different. You know, we used to, sometimes I want to say there were some states that elected them, like the lower house elected the upper house. We haven't always been the way we are today.
No. And I thought it was the state government elected the senators. I thought it may not have just been the governor, but I will research that so I have my homework assignment done when you want me to report that.
Let me know. And so then what I want you to is like, because let me tell you, I think I look at what is going to rescue us from us. this current state we're in?
Yeah.
And the answer is what? This we almost had the way the country is today, so divided. I mean, we could have had 20 coffins in the rotunda of the Capitol. Except for the guy that went to the baseball diamond, you know, did not appropriately do reconnaissance, and he entered on the side where the gate was locked. If he enters on the first base side, he's inside the fenced area with a weapon and in close proximity, and he starts shooting people. So stack them up.
Oh, yeah, no, even though he wasn't apparently that proficient with a long gun, he wouldn't have had to be if he got on that first baseline. That's sure.
Exactly, but that won't slow us down. We'll digest that like we've digested September 11th, and we'll continue to be this jackass of a nation that can't do what's in the business of the majority of the American people, and I think the nation's disgusting. And so there you have it. There you have it, Mike McNamara, about abolish political parties.
Yeah, it'd be hard to formulate a counter argument to that.
Yeah, intellectually, I mean, if you take money away from it, and if you take party distinction so that compromise isn't an issue because there is no party.
I mean, I know the counter argument, just
go do good work for us.
Yeah. Yeah, the counter-argument is it's a free speech issue, but you know, you can't assume that everything the Supreme Court has ruled on is written in stone and is correct. I mean, shit, they did the Dred Scott decision. That wasn't too damn smart, right?
That the issue that says a corporate has the same legal standing as an individual, that's a joke.
Yeah.
How do I ever get heard when Pfizer decides they want to play in the issue?
You don't. And that's why, you know, writing or calling your congressman is a fool's errand. They don't pay any attention to that because you're not giving them money.
Right.
So they don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So you have your homework assignment. Don't screw it up.
Well, I'll try not to. I take this seriously.
All right.
Glad
you're safe. Thanks for the update from Texas. Tim Lynch, down southwest of Corpus Christi in a city not far from the border. If you find Nuevo Laredo and you go northwest out of Nuevo Laredo, you will find McAllen, Texas. So,
yeah, man. Southeast, bro. Southeast out of there.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You can't go southeast. You're right.
Yeah, southeast.
Northwest would take you to Villa Hidalgo.
Yeah, it'd take you way inland. There's not much there, brother. Not much at all.
All right, man. Have a good day.
All right, you too, man.
There you have it. Tim Lynch contributing to the program this morning. Gunner living in Texas. We're going to talk to him. See what he's got going. So, here's an email. Mac, one of the things I do find interesting about your program is that you go from being a jackass to actually being relatively intellectual on a dime. It's amusing. And I find the more you do it, the funnier I think it is. So from this discussion about calling somebody a shitbag, all of a sudden we turn and we're talking about a relatively sophisticated argument on constitutional law, and in parentheses, but not too sophisticated, and the future of the republic. I enjoy the discussion. All right, we're going to take a break. The Gunner's going to join us next as we continue here on a Monday. Another email. Mac, you got a new dog? What'd you name it? I'll post something about the new Almarine Radio canine. The canine unit. The new dog is named Joe. My criteria for the new dog, name, you got to be one syllable that you can yell when you're pissed. Okay, it lends to discipline. So we have Jack-1, Joe-2. And I need to talk about where I got it. But I don't know if the Gunner's going to want to talk animals. He joins us next on a Monday edition. Don't forget, Comment on the Marine Corps joins us tomorrow in a great interview. And you can find out whether he does apologize for the bullshit conduct of the Detroit Tigers Neller's a Michigan guy. Get it? And he gets asked, do you want to apologize to our audience for the bullshit conduct of the Detroit Tigers last week against the New York Yankees? So, interesting response. I'll leave it at that. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of Allmarine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.